So this morning, I really just felt on my heart that we should just start looking at a bit of things like dealing with stress and being overwhelmed and things like that, because this time of the year, I don't know about you, but there's a lot of things that can pressure you. Okay, the we're the ones saying amen. You know, at this time of the year, you know, I think many people tend to experience higher levels of anxiety, stress, and fear. Now, it's probably, you shouldn't say amen. You should just say yes, that's right. Anyone understand what stress is? Excuse me. Okay, I'm the only one. Well, I want to encourage you to take notes, because you can share this with someone who does understand stress. This is really, I think, going to be practical in over the this is my last series for the year. I'll be sharing it this weekend, I think next weekend, and I think I'm not sure if it's the weekend after. The date's all muddled in my head. But, you know, this is the season to be jolly, as the song says, but it's really filled with a lot of folly, I realize. You know, it is the season to be folly, because you've got people focusing on the wrong things, and we allow so much to just pressure us and weigh us down that I think we need to speak about it and in order to get through the season. Amen. Some people don't make it through the season. And that's a sobering thought. You know, a lot of good people don't make it through the season. They end up killing themselves. And so it's really important that we learn how to manage and deal with stress. Amen? Okay, so, you know, it's easy to be overwhelmed or overloaded. Another word for overwhelmed is overloaded. It's easy to be overwhelmed or overloaded by stress and by circumstances. You know, this time of the year, there's relational stress. Not for anyone in the room. There's financial stress. You know, we experience the stress of not finding a parking at the mall. The stress of not finding the, you know, then you're busy praying for a parking when you could be praying for Albania. Yeah, they've got the stress of not finding the perfect gift. The stress of not finding a gift or having to find a gift for someone. The stress of, am I going to be alone this Christmas? You know, there's a lot of different types of stress that different people are dealing with. And so I think it's important for us to kind of look at it and realize that we don't have to be stressed. We should have the attitude of, I'm too blessed to be stressed. And we're going to look at that in a moment. But there's many things that can and do overload our hearts at this time. And the overloading of our hearts is what causes the stress, anxiety, and fear. So if you're wondering, why am I anxious? Why am I fearful? Why am I just overwhelmed? It's because you're allowing too much to weigh in on your heart. Okay? It's not uncontrollable. Yeah, these kind of things lead even to depression. Okay? But it's not uncontrollable. That's the awesome news. So, let's start off in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 to 30. It's, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. That's an awesome invitation. And let me just pause there and say, you know, religion doesn't give an invitation. Religion puts a burden. Religion gives a to-do list. Jesus is giving an invitation. He's inviting. He's not telling you what to do. So Christianity should be an invitation. It shouldn't be a, this is what you have to do. Okay, so Jesus says, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I'm sure that is that's actually something that all of us aim for at this time of the year. Amen? All of us want to rest at this time of the year. That's why you're already in holiday mode. And a lot of you aren't working like you should. That's why you've already switched off and you're thinking of the beach or Christmas dinner or something. A lot of us are thinking about resting or putting our feet up or just treating ourselves to not having to X, Y, and Z. Because we want rest, okay? Jesus says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Okay? Where do you find rest? Where does he want you to find rest? In your? We'll talk about that in a moment. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So when we come to Jesus, we find rest for our souls. In your spirit, you know. In your spirit, man, you've got rest. You've got perfect rest. You've got everything you need for life and for godliness, all the blessing of God, all the favor of God in your spirit. But in your soul, sometimes you're a little bit anxious. Maybe you're thinking about the wrong thing. Maybe you're focused on the wrong thing. And so we want that what's in our spirit to influence that which is in our souls, in our hearts, in our emotions, in our intellect. God doesn't want you to live burdened. Amen? We've just come out of a focus on freedom. We had freedom month and a half, and we looked at freedom, that God doesn't want us to be oppressed. He doesn't want us to be depressed. He wants us to live free from anxiety, free from fear, free from sickness, free from lack, free from a whole bunch of things. Amen? And that was really awesome to focus on these things. You know, but we're continuing on in that and seeing now that God doesn't want us to live burdened. What does He say? He says, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, heavy burdened. And so He doesn't want you to be burdened or weighed down. Another way of looking at it is weighed down. Like just having the weight of the world on your shoulders, having all these things just holding you down, okay? The only reason, you know, let me put it like this. You know what the only reason is that you would be burdened? That you would be weighed down. It's the only reason that you would be in that situation is because you've picked up something you shouldn't do. It's not because God put something on you. It's because you picked up something you shouldn't do. You picked up something you shouldn't do. You're either carrying something you shouldn't have, or you're carrying something you weren't ready to carry yet. Because, you know, how many of you know that in a few months' time, even a few years' time, maybe even for some of you in a few days' time, you're going to have to carry some things that are bigger than what you can carry right now. But by walking with the Lord, you can be prepared to carry those things. I wouldn't be able to carry everything I'm carrying now 20 years ago, 10 years ago, 7 years ago, 5 years ago, maybe last year. You know, we all growing and maturing in our capacity and increasing our capacity to be able to carry more. To be able to bear more. Okay, some of you don't think that's good news, but it's good news that that isn't on you now. Amen? Okay, so God didn't design, listen to this, God didn't design you or destine you to carry a lot of the things that you're currently carrying. God didn't design you, create you to carry some of the things that you're carrying, and God didn't destine you to carry some of the things that you've decided to carry right now. Some of the things that you're carrying, you shouldn't be carrying. And the reason why you're stressed is because you're carrying them. Hey, this time of the year, it's not about family. I know we make it about family, and that's a good thing. This time of the year is an opportunity for us to focus on Jesus and what He's done for us. To focus on the good news of Jesus coming to save us, to rescue us because we needed rescuing. Amen? You know what that should do? The good news causes us to be happy. I mean, what did the angels say? They said, behold, I bring you glad tidings of great joy, which will be for all people. That means that's a Christmas message. Glad tidings of great joy for all people, which means that at this time of the year, it should be the happiest time of the year for us. There's songs that sing that. Not Christian songs, but, you know, it's the most wonderful time of the year and all of that type of stuff. It should be, because we're focusing on the most wonderful message that there ever was, that there ever is. Okay? And so, you know, if we have the right focus through the season, it should be the best part of our year, not the most stressful part of the year. Okay? And for a lot, it's the most stressful. Okay? Look at 1 Peter 5:7. The Living Bible says, let him have all your worries and cares, for he is always thinking about you and watching everything that concerns you. King James says, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. So let him have your worries and cares, because he's thinking about you, watching everything that concerns you. There's certain things that you shouldn't be carrying. There's certain things that you weren't designed to carry, and one of them is worries and cares. How many of you have some worries or cares that you're carrying? You know, there's a lot of us which just, you know, it's just natural that you want to take responsibility for a situation. It's natural. You want to take responsibility for something. You want to fix it. You're trying to figure out how to fix it. And it sounds good, but that's not God's way. We shouldn't be carrying a lot of the things that we're carrying because it causes stress. We have to learn to let go of a bunch of things. Amen. I'm sure that if every one of us was to answer this question individually, would you like to let go of a few things? You would say yes. And if you don't want to, you're probably disillusioned, or you're deceived, because you think that everything that you're busy with is good. I mean, there might be some individuals here that you're in a good place, you're not carrying too much, you're doing well, you're not stressed. Praise God. You can be a pillar for those that are around you. Amen? Because that's how God wants us to live. But we have to start letting go of a bunch of things. You know, it's not about, let me say this too. It's not about doing too much. It's not about doing too much, okay, or not being busy. But it's about being busy with the right things and doing the right thing. Okay? I'm busy. But I'm busy with the right stuff, and it's stuff that's fruitful. Sometimes in life we can be so busy with the wrong stuff, and it's not producing fruit in our lives, it's actually just causing stress. Because your focus is wrong. You can be busy with the right stuff, and that's not wrong, you just have to live in a place of rest. Because like this verse shows us in Matthew 11, Jesus wants us to be in a place of rest. Not in a place where we're stressed. Not in a place where we're burdened or overwhelmed. Amen? And when you carry your cares, when you carry your concerns, when you carry your worries, you know what you're doing? So let me change the way I said that. When you're worrying, you know what you're doing? You're robbing Jesus of his job. You're stealing Jesus from Jesus. Don't worry about not robbing God in your tithes and offerings. Don't worry about that. Worry about doing the job that he wants to do. He wants to carry your concerns. He wants to carry your worries. And yet a lot of the time we carry it and we weren't designed to do that. We're not able to do that. We don't have the gifting and ability to be able to do that. I guess some of you think that you do and that you can fix it and sort it out, but Jesus can do it better than you. Amen? Worrying is, this is going to bless you. Are you ready? Worrying is simply the result of not trusting God. Worrying is simply the result of not trusting God. Now, when I heard that for the first time, maybe 15 years ago, it was like a slap in the face. So if you felt like you've just been slapped in the face, I apologize. You know, God will heal you. But the point is, we're going to take communion just now, and that'll be your moment of restoration. But the point is that I realized that I was worrying a lot in my life about finances, about a whole bunch of things. And when I was worrying, I realized that it was only because I wasn't focused on Jesus. I wasn't focused on the promises of the Word. I wasn't focused on the goodness of God. I was only focused in on the situation, the circumstances, and the problem. So every time or any time that we're worrying, it just reveals that we're not trusting God. Okay? Our job is just to simply trust God. Believe. This is the work of God, that you believe. So just believe. His job is to carry the burden. Okay? How many of you agree? There's many burdens. There's many things that we could worry about in this life. Okay? Nobody with me on that. There's many things that we could worry about. Finances. You know, there's many things that we can worry about. Never mind finances. You know, just your family. The water shortage. You know, the price of electricity. Whatever the case, there's many opportunities to worry about things. Health. And every time we're worrying about something, all we're doing is we're not focusing on Jesus and the promises. We're focused on that situation. Okay. Yeah, I have a lot of problems at the moment. There's problems that we have in the ministry. But we're not losing sleep over it. Well, I'm not. I know a lot of the other guys aren't either. But it's like we're not losing sleep over problems. I mean, if problems could kill you, many of us would be dead. Amen? Some problems could kill you. Okay, granted. But the point is that you just what's the worst thing that could happen? We're going to look at that in a moment. Okay, I'm jumping ahead there. You know, sometimes what we need to do with the problem is you find the answer in Psalm 2, verse 4. It says, he who sits in the heavens shall laugh. Now, you're seated with Christ in heavenly places, so that's talking about you. And you're seated above every circumstance, every challenge, every problem, and what you need to maybe do is just look down at that problem and laugh. Don't even giggle, laugh. Just laugh. Force it if you have to. Okay? If you force a laugh, then the person sitting next to you will start to laugh, and then you'll start to laugh properly. It works like that. It just start to laugh and just, you know, just start to point at the problem and say, you know what, you're really pathetic. Jesus is so much bigger than you. And that's one of the ways of dealing with stress, because it's going to force you to start to trust God. When you start to magnify and make Him bigger than the problem and start to see, wow, He actually can really deal with this. That's why a lot of us are stressed, is because we don't really believe God can sort this out. Okay? So, God's will for us is that we live in rest. Let's look again at Matthew chapter 11, 28. It says, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. God's will for us is rest, not stress. Okay, if you like your stress, then you're just limiting your life, because you'll die younger than you should. You're going to die much younger. Okay, the opposite of stress is rest. God never wants you to be stressed. Amen? That's good news. You know what that means is God's not the one putting those stressful things on you. Okay? One of the ways to deal with the pressures of this life is to adopt the attitude which I've already mentioned of, I'm too blessed to be stressed. When you realize how blessed you are, that you've even got a loving Father who just wants to sort your problems out and deal with them, then you're not going to be stressed. When you focused on on how blessed you are, then when you have the opportunity to be stressed, you're just going to be like, I'd rather be happy. Rejoice in the Lord always. You know, I love that verse. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Philippians 4:4. Paul's writing from prison. How many of us would be able to say rejoice in the Lord always while we're sitting in prison? Especially a prison from back then. And you're in prison and it's not, you're unjustly in prison. You shouldn't be in prison. Yeah, he shouldn't have been in prison. He was in the prison for the gospel. He wasn't a criminal. You know, by God's standard. And so we got to learn to rejoice and thrive through anything. Amen? So living in the blessing is really about living in the rest. And the solution to any stress is living in rest. So we're really talking about living in rest this morning. Learning to live in rest. Okay? Some of you, I have walked in here this morning with spiritual hernia. Now, I didn't notice it, but inside, you notice it if you've got a spiritual hernia, okay? Because you've picked up things that you shouldn't have. Your life is going to give you lots of opportunities to pick up things that you shouldn't. So you've got to decide, what are things that I should carry and what are things that I shouldn't carry? Never mind just what do you do, but what are you concerned about? What's filling up your focus? You know, look at this verse with me. Psalm 46. Verse 1. Okay, I'm reading from God's Word translation. It says, God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in times of trouble. You know what? If that's your focus, then why would you be stressed? God, the creator of the universe, is your ever-present help in time of trouble. Why stress? Why stress? There's no need to stress, because if you're focused on the right thing, okay? Life will give you many opportunities to pick things up that you shouldn't, and so you need to learn to flow in the grace life. Matthew 11, say, come to me all you are heavy laden and burdened, and I will give you rest. You know what that's saying? It's basically a pattern. We should be living in the pattern of continuously coming to Jesus. Yes, we're with Jesus, we're saved, I understand that. But in coming to Him and bringing our cares to Him, we should have this, because the world and the devil and some of your family members are going to constantly try and put cares on you. Amen? They've even done it this morning or this week. They've put cares on you that you shouldn't be cared about. And so you shouldn't be caring for those things. So what do you need to do? You've got to develop a habit, a lifestyle of continuously coming to Jesus and letting Him take it from you. Yeah, and I believe that's called the grace life, where you're constantly in this rhythm or this flow of taking it to Jesus and then taking what He's got for you. Matthew 6:33 says, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. All these things in context is talking about food, drink, what you're going to wear, your clothes. How many of you worried about clothes this week? You shouldn't be worrying about clothes. Clothes can burn. What about eternity? You know, we should be thinking about things bigger than that. Yeah, most of what we're worrying about, let me put it like this, most of what we're worried about can burn. And it's not going to be with us in 10,000 years time, because you'll be alive in 10,000 years time. You'll be in heaven, hopefully. If you're born again, you'll be in heaven. If you're not, we'll give you an opportunity to be born again in a moment. Amen? But what I'm trying to show you is that we need to learn to live in this flow of His grace. Okay, can you put up Matthew 11 again there, please? Living in rest, living this grace life is the result of three things from this verse. Firstly, come unto me. Okay, we need to continuously be coming to Jesus. It's about relationship with Jesus. So that's your first point. This holiday season, continuously come to Jesus. Don't neglect fellowshipping with Him. He's always with you. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. Don't neglect Him. For your benefit, not His. Okay? It's easier to fellowship with Jesus if you're fellowshipping with other believers. It's a nicer environment and it's encouraging and it's an opportunity for others to lift your hands up. So don't neglect the gathering together of the saints. You know, some of you, mid-January, you're going to look and go, why am I feeling so pop? You know, why am I just down? And you're going to not actually even think about the fact that, you know, you haven't spent time in the Word for a couple of weeks. You haven't really prayed much except for a parking space. And you haven't even fellowshipped with other believers in church. And that's part of the reason why you're in the mess that you're in. But number one, come to Jesus. Number two, what does He say? Come to me, all that you are. All ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Next verse. Take my yoke upon you. So you've got to be continuously remain yoked with Jesus. We'll look at that in a moment. And then the third one is, learn of me. So take His yoke and learn of Him. Okay, so we're going to learn of Him. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls. Okay, so point one, come to Jesus. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden. Come to me. When problems and challenges come, we tend not to come to Jesus. Okay? When you're having challenges and problems in your life, I know a lot of people, and the majority of the people that I know don't go to Jesus first. And if they do go to Jesus first, it's kind of like routine. In their hearts, they're not coming to Jesus. Okay, and we allow, or we try and allow, anything, or should I say it like this, we come to anything other than Jesus to try and find rest. Because here, you're kind of wired to try and find rest. Okay? How many of you realize that about yourself for the first time? You're wired to try and find rest. Many of you always try and take the easy route. I do. You know, we try and find the easy route because we're most comfortable in a place of rest. How much more in God's rest? And not just in a superficial rest. Okay? And when we come to anything other than Jesus, you know, it causes us to remain in stress because we're still carrying the pressures of what we're carrying. Let me explain it like this. You know, if one of your stress relieving mechanisms is exercise, when you finished exercising, you're still carrying the same burden. And in a few moments' time, you're going to have to repeat to maintain. Okay? If one of your stress coping mechanisms is alcohol, when the alcohol wears off, you need more. I'm not condoning that. I'm just explaining that, you know, that's one of the problems. Is we turn to somebody else than Jesus. You turn to, you know, Virgin Active, or you turn to Jack Daniels, or the beach. Or whatever. It's like Jesus is a person. He can help you better than those things can help you. And those things can help, but they're short term. Okay? You know, it might not be alcohol or sleeping around or something that's your coping mechanism. It might not be sin, but anything other than Jesus is wrong. Those things, some of these things are good, but, you know, some of these things are just wrong because they're trying to replace Jesus. I wrote down a couple. Exercise, holidays, cake. Coffee, surfing, video games, movies, series, etc., etc. You fill in the blank. What do you want to do when you're stressed? this is a wake-up call, you know. What do you want to do when you're stressed? Is it pray in the Spirit and look to Jesus? Or is it watch series? I've often gone to series or movies because it's an escape mechanism. When there's other ways to deal with things that and it lasts longer, like Jesus. Okay, that's the best answer. Okay, anything other than Jesus will offer temporary relief, but it's not going to offer a solution. This holiday, it might help you just to leave the house and get away from your crazy family for a while. It might help you. But the problem is you're going to have to go back to the family. The problem is you can't get away from them permanently. And if you do, then the loneliness is going to start being your problem. Jesus offers help in your situation. Getting away, a holiday, you have to come back to work. Some of you are like, wow, I'm really looking forward to the holidays this year. I really need it. It's going to be over in a few days or weeks' time. It's going to start in like a few weeks' time, but it's going to be over in a few weeks' time. Then what? you might experience, you know, momentary relief, but it's going to come back unless you deal with it. That's why David had to cut off Goliath's head to make sure he was dead. Some of you don't cut off your giant's heads. You just think that they're unconscious. They're going to regain consciousness and come back for you. Okay? It's not wrong to have an outlet like exercise or holiday. They're good things. I'm just saying Jesus is the solution. Those things aren't. Okay, so how do you come to Jesus? Because we're under the first point of coming to Jesus to find this rest. We're going to be looking at this in this sermon and over the next week or two. But you know, we need to realize that the application for all of us is going to be different, but the principle is the same. The principle is trusting Him. The principle is looking to Him. The application of how we do that is going to vary from individual to individual. Okay? You might do it in a certain way. I might do it the right way. But you can learn from me. Amen? I'm joking. I do it in my way. You do it in your way. Okay? We all do it in different ways. You know, how do you spend your time with Jesus? How do you do your quiet time? It doesn't have to be the same. It's not written in the Word the way that you should do it. Amen? It comes down to it's about trusting in Him. It's about relying in Him. It's about living out of relationship with Him. Amen? So, the next point, Matthew 11:29. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. So, the first point there is, take my yoke upon you. We need to take His yoke. Okay? Now, a yoke was made of wood with two hollowed out sections on the bottom of that portion, and then it rested on the neck of the oxen. Okay? And I had a picture, I just didn't give it to them. So, Peter, can you come stand next to me? And we'll illustrate it. So if we're down like this, the yoke, well actually let me just get you, Etienne, you can come. I'm gonna explain it. You can demonstrate it. So if you're down and bend forward, the yoke would be like that, and it would be a solid wooden thing which binds them together. Okay, in essence it makes them one. He that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit with Him. 1 Corinthians 6:17. Thank you. You can go sit down. You are buying to the people. So he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit with Him. He wants you to operate as one with Him in order to deal with the stresses of life. In order not to take on the burdens, okay? Listen to this. A new ox was often trained for plowing or drawing a cart by yoking it with an experienced ox. So you can decide which was the experienced ox and which was the immature ox or the unexperienced one. But the yoke kept the young ox from doing its own thing. Listen, the yoke kept the younger ox from doing its own thing. Okay, and in this process, it soon learned obedience. And so we need to commit ourselves to being yoked with Jesus, because you know what happens when we just go off and want to do our own things? You know what the result of that is? Stress, anxiety, fear. You make a big decision. You're just doing your own thing, making your own path, and what happened? Stress, anxiety, fear. And then you need to come to Jesus. Because His burden is light, and you want to cast your burdens onto Him. you've put the burdens on yourself most time. And yet, you're constantly in this pattern of picking up a burden, it nearly kills you, you take it to Jesus, you're refreshed, then you pick up another burden, it nearly kills you, you take it to Jesus. You know, and we shouldn't be living in patterns like that. If we're living in a continuous place of being yoked with Jesus, then it's a case of submission of, yes, Lord. What do you want, Lord? Not what do I want. Jeremiah 10:23 says, it is not in man that walks to direct his steps. You don't have enough brain power to figure out where you should go, what you should do, how things should run. And yet God, who knows the beginning from the end, knows what you should do. He knows that He's got the best plan for you, and yet we don't come to Him and yoke ourselves with Him, submit to Him, and allow Him to direct our lives. And in that place of being yoked with Him, there's the most freedom, actually. If you choose to follow your own steps, there's no freedom there. You end up in bondage because you end up in fear, anxiety, depression, worry. You end up having to deal with problems. Whereas if we just yoked with Jesus, going with Jesus, what happened? Freedom. Because you don't have those things. They come, but they don't stick. Amen? So in this yoking together with Jesus, He's the one who carries the load. Jesus is the one. He's the mature one in the picture. You thought you were. Jesus is the mature one in the picture. He's the one carrying the load. And He always is like, this is the direction we should go. And then you're like, no, but I want to go in that direction. But if you're yoked with Him, that means you're submitted to Him. You're saying, yes, Lord. Not my will, but Your will be done. Okay? We need to remember that we weren't designed or destined to carry certain things. You weren't even designed or destined to make your own decisions. You've got a free will. But you make decisions on your by yourself without the Lord, and you're headed for bondage. It's going to result in bondage. You make decisions with the Lord, it's going to result in freedom. Okay? One of the things that you weren't designed to carry, 1 Peter 2:24, this is going to bless you. Who Himself bore our sins in His own body on the tree. You weren't designed to carry sin. You were not designed to carry sin. Religion will make you think that you're designed to carry sin. You have to carry your sin. You should be focused on your sin. You should be sorry for your sin. The gospel says you're free from sin. The gospel says you're dead to sin. The gospel says Jesus bore your sin so you don't have to bear your sin. You're free from sin. Okay? There's one thing that would cause more stress, anxiety, and fear more than anything. More than even sin. And you know what that is? Religion. Religious people are often the most anxious people. I'm not talking about Christianity, although there's a lot of religious Christians. They would be filled with anxiety, fear, and all of that type of stuff. But what is religion? In the negative sense, religion is really, you know, focusing on how can I be made right with God? How can I get brownie points with God? What do I need to do for God to be pleased with me? What do I need to do for God to accept me, for God's favor in my life? It puts the pressure on you, of performance on you. Whereas Christianity says, look what Jesus has done for you. And all you're doing is yoking yourself to Jesus, becoming one with Him and following Him. He's giving you all His blessing, favor, goodness. And all you're doing is receiving it. You're not doing anything for it. You're receiving it. It's by grace, through faith. It's a free gift, and all you're doing is receiving it. Religion makes you try and earn it, makes you try and deserve it. You know what that is a recipe for? Stress, anxiety, fear, being tired and weary. And you know, what is it? Matthew 11. Jesus, in context, you know who He's talking to? Religious people. He's speaking to the religious Jews, and what is He saying? He's saying, come to Me, all you are heavy burdened, heavy laden, from trying to follow the law, from trying to be right with God, from trying to do your best, from trying to be holy, and I will give you rest. Why would he give us rest? Because he's done it for you. And all you're doing is living in what he's done for you. That's the life of rest. That's the grace life, is living in what he's done for you. You're not trying to do it again. You're just enjoying what he's done. Amen? So, you know, what makes us tired more than anything is religion, is being yoked to Moses. Not being yoked to Jesus. Being yoked to the law. We're trying to live under a performance mentality. What do I need to do with God? Do for God? What does God expect of me? Not what has God done for me. When you discover what he's done for you, it'll make you want to do something. And it'll be a natural response. But when we're in times of trouble, we shouldn't be going to Moses. We should be going to Jesus. We shouldn't be going to, what do I need to do? When we're in trouble, we shouldn't be looking to rules, regulations, and legalism to bring life. Because Jesus brings life. You're in the midst of chaos, turmoil, stress. What do we often do? We're trying to figure out, what do I need to do? Why did I cause this? What can I do to uncause it? To reverse it? Did I sin that all of a sudden God's punishing me or whatever? We kind of have a legalistic religious mindset when we should be focused on Jesus, who just lifts the burden, not Moses, which tries to get you to get rid of the burden. The law will try and get you to get rid of the burden. Jesus lifts the burden. Only Jesus can bring life and health. The law can't. Okay? We just need to put faith in what he's done for us. That's good news. The bad news is religion will wear you out. Religion will make you tired. Religion will give you a short fuse because you're just stressed out all the time. Okay, listen to this. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 to 3. Since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. The only way that you can run the race of life and be successful in this life is by laying aside weights and the sin which so easily besets us, which holds us back. Yes, just sin in general will hold us back and we should let it go, but just the sin of unbelief will hold you back and not enable you to run with patience and be successful. But the point here is, let go of the weights. Then it goes on and it says, looking unto Jesus, the focus of your race. In order to be successful, you've got to focus on Jesus, not focus on the finish line, focus on the crowd, focus on what you're doing, what you're not doing, your diet and all of this in this race. You're focused on Jesus, okay, the author and finisher of your faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. So it's talking about the finished work of Jesus there. Okay, focus on Jesus and his finished work. Looking unto Jesus and what he's done for you. Verse 3, consider him. Consider Jesus, who endured such hostility from sinners against himself. Consider Jesus and what he's done for you, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. What does it mean to become weary and discouraged in your soul? You become disillusioned. I think it's this version says faint in your mind. It's discouraged. It means you want to give up. Why do we get to the point of just wanting to give up in Christianity sometimes, in just life in general, or doing whatever we should do? Why do we get there? Because we're focused on the wrong thing. We're focused on what we should be doing or not, what we're not doing, and we're not focused on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, and we're not focused on what he's done for us. You might be thinking, but how does that help me in the workplace? It will. When you focus on Jesus and what he's done for you, it'll empower you to be successful. When you're focused on what you can do for you, it's limited. Jesus is unlimited. When you're focused on Jesus, there's no limitations. When Jesus is living in you and through you, there are no limitations. If you're living for Jesus, it's very limited. Because I'm sure that there's somebody in this room who can do better than you. And if you're the best person in this room and you can do it the best, there's someone in this country at least, who can do it better than you. There's someone in the world who can do it better than you. You are limited in your ability. You can't be everywhere at once. If Jesus is living in us and through us, we've got a greater capacity for fruitfulness. Okay, so the first point was, come to Jesus. The second point was, be yoked with Him. Stay yoked with Him. And the third thing from Matthew chapter 11, 29 is, learn from Me. Learn of Me. Okay? Who's talking there? Jesus. So learn of Jesus. Whatever you're going through, you need to know firstly that God wants to reveal Himself to you in the chaos. He didn't cause the chaos. Amen? God didn't cause your chaos. He's not the destroyer. He's not the one who brings disaster. The thief comes but for to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus comes to give life and life abundantly, John 10:10. Okay? So whenever you're going through something, whatever you're going through, you need to know that God wants to reveal Himself to you in the middle of the chaos. In the middle of the confusion, He wants to reveal Himself to you. Why? Because He's the answer. He's the answer to your situation, the answer to your problem. Amen? He didn't cause it, but He'll use it. Okay? Many people are stressed out about a problem because they're trying to figure out the problem rather than trying to find God. They're seeking an answer to their problem. They're trying to sort out their problem, but they're not seeking God, who has the solution to their problem. When you've got a challenge, a problem, when your family's on your nerves this holiday season, or you can't find a parking, don't focus on the problem. Some people's problems are worse than others. Amen? Don't focus on the problem. Find God in the situation. Seek relationship with Him in the situation. Pray in the Spirit and allow Him to minister to you. Okay? Many people, we just stressed out for the wrong reason. There's never a good reason to stress out for that. Now, God didn't cause the problem. He wants to help you in the problem. So don't focus on the problem. Focus on the one who's got the solution for you. There's a solution to your... I don't know about you. I don't want to analyze the problem if I've got the solution. I don't need to understand the problem if I've got the solution. I couldn't care less why the problem came, how the problem came, what the dynamics of the problem or the situation. I just want it gone. If you want to understand the problem, you can camp there and you can stay there for a while. That's fine. I don't want to. I'm walking through the valley of the shadow of death when I get there. I don't want to camp in the valley of the shadow of death and ask, why is this the valley of the shadow of death? How did I get you? What wrong to? I just want to get out of the valley of the shadow of death and get back to that, you know. I know there's feasting. You know, some of you stay in the valley of the shadow of death because of the feasting. You know, He'll set a table before you in the presence of your enemies. And you're like, wow, I get to feast. This is a miracle. I want to live with these miracles. I don't want to live with miracles. I want to live in the blessing. So I want to get out of the valley of the shadow of death. I want to live in the place of promises, of the blessing of God, of the favor of God. Amen? Look with me, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13. It says, no temptation has overtaken you, except such as common to man. So let me just pause there and say, the temptations that you face, the challenges that you face, the circumstances that you face, they're common. You are not special and your situation is not very extraordinary. Somebody else went through something worse than you and they survived and some of them even thrived. That will help you break free from a victim mentality. Okay? Continuing on there. But, look at this but. This is awesome. But God is faithful. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. God's will is not that you be crushed. God's will is not that you even just survive, but that you thrive. Okay? I like what this says though. God is faithful. He's not guilty. God is faithful. He's not guilty. He isn't the one who's making a challenging situation for you. He's the one who's going to pull you through the challenging situation. God is not your enemy. He's not your adversary. The devil is. Sometimes you are. But God wants to pull you through it. He doesn't want to push you into it. Amen? And sometimes, I know that, living for God, you're going to get persecution. There's going to be challenges like that. But the point is that's just a natural repercussion. God didn't will that on you. Okay? God is the answer, not the problem. Some of you already thought of this, just in reading that. You thought, God won't put more on me than I can bear. I don't know if you've ever heard that preached from this verse. You encourage each other with that. God's not going to give you more than you can bear. Where did you see that there? I don't see that anywhere in that verse. Anyone see that? You know what it says? It doesn't say God won't put on more on you than what you will bear. It says that He won't allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. He's not going to allow something just to come and crush you. You can allow something to just come and crush you, but God knows that you could handle it. He didn't send it. He's the answer, but He's not the problem here, and He's not sending the problem. Okay, He doesn't put on problems in your life so that He can be your help in time of trouble. That's twisted. He's your ever-present help in time of trouble. This is basically saying God doesn't overwhelm your heart. Amen? John chapter 16, verse 33. These things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might find peace. This is talking about rest. In Jesus, in His words, you will find peace. You will find rest. How many of you want peace and rest? We all want it this holiday. You're sending out, you don't send out greeting cards anymore, but with peace written on it, you've got decorations which have peace written on them. We want peace. The world wants peace. You can only find it in Jesus and what He said. Okay? In this world you will have tribulation or trouble. That's a good word, isn't it? He's not saying I'm going to give you trouble. He's saying in this world you will have trouble, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. He's saying you're going to have trouble. This holiday season, you're going to have trouble. Just go to the shops. I was at the shop yesterday afternoon quickly. I have to say thank you, Father, that I'm not going to hit someone. Because I had someone even push me into a mannequin. I was like, it's not Black Friday, it was what? Saturday. Yeah, it was worse. Yeah, and I just went quickly, but I didn't end up being quickly, I ended up having someone push me with their trolley. And I was like, this is terrible. I don't want to be in the shop in 2 weeks' time. I'm going to be on a plane, praise God. So John 14 verse 1, let not your heart be troubled. So in John 16 verse 33, Jesus is saying you're going to have trouble. Then in John 14 verse 1, He's saying, let not your heart be troubled. What He's basically saying, you're going to have trouble, but you don't have to be troubled. You're going to have trouble, but you don't have to be troubled. The Christian life involves trouble, but you don't have to be troubled. Your heart can be at peace and rest no matter what storm you're going through. Amen? Fear overwhelms us. Looking to circumstances will overwhelm us. But, we shouldn't be focused on circumstances. We should be focused on the faithfulness of God. When you're focused on the faithfulness of God, you're going to get through it easier. And just because it came doesn't mean it's going. Some of you will die in your challenging circumstance if you don't take up your authority and get out of it. Amen? There's an encouraging prophetic word. You've got the authority to change your situation because you've got a free will to make decisions. So make the right decisions, trust God, get out of it. We shouldn't be focused on circumstances, but on God's faithfulness. 1 Corinthians 10, 13, part of that says, no temptation has overtaken you except such as common to man, but God is faithful. Don't focus on the temptation or the challenging circumstance. Focus on, but God is faithful. Amen? So dealing with it. Firstly, we need to realize a couple of things. And very quickly, it's not circumstances that stress us out. Going to the mall doesn't stress you out. Amen? It's how you relate to the mall. Your family doesn't stress you out. It's how you relate to your family. Having children doesn't stress you out. Because some people have more children than others, and the one with less children, they're the ones that are more stressed. Having another child won't stress you out. It's how you relate to it, how you deal with it. Okay? finances, relationships, kids, these things don't stress us out. It's how we relate to them. You know, the devil wants to use circumstances to stress you out. God wants to use circumstances to stretch you. He wants to use circumstances and challenges to increase your capacity. Because it can. That was a great place to say amen, but I know that's not exciting, so it's fine. You know, God doesn't cause hardships, He uses them. God doesn't cause the hardships, He just uses them. The believer, listen to me, believer. You were designed to thrive under hardships. You were designed to thrive under hardships, not break under them. You know, most stress isn't based on reality. It's a result of the way you're looking at it. Most stress is just because your imagination is going out of control. You need to rein in your emotions or something. So change the way you look at it. Ask yourself this question. What's the worst thing that can happen? This is a good one. What's the worst thing that could happen? Romans chapter 8, verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to His purposes. Okay, so there's a couple of conditions there. Things don't just work out as the world believes. Things don't just supernaturally work out for the believer. Those that love God, they work out. For those that are called according to His purposes, they work out. But just for everyone in the whole world, sometimes it doesn't work out. Sometimes that sickness will kill them, and if they're not born again, it didn't work out so well. Things don't just work out. We've got to work them out with God. Okay? But this scripture, why I'm sharing it now is because it goes with the question of what's the worst thing that could happen? Something good could happen. For the believer, you need to ask yourself, this is a terrible situation. You know, finance, health, children, relationships, family, can't find a parking. What's the worst thing that could happen? Something good could happen. Oh, you know, how many times I've had to go to, last year, just before we went to Albania, we had to go to SARS. What's the worst? That's the worst thing that could happen to you in December. It is the worst thing. I mean, it's not a gift. That's a thorn in my flesh. Amen? Yeah, but I can't remember what happened, but so much good things came out of it. We weren't depressed. We enjoyed it. You know? So ask yourself, what's the worst thing that could happen in this situation? Something good could happen. Hey, you might lose everything, but something good could happen after that. Hey, you could die from that illness, but hey, you could be with Jesus forever. That's awesome. Just look at it differently. Okay? Conclusion. Let's look at that. You know, what are the three things? In the grace life, to live the grace life, to live in the flow of rest and peace. Number one, come to Jesus. We need to learn to live a life of trusting in Him. Number two, remain yoked to Him. Allow Him to carry it. Cast your burden unto Him because He cares for you. Number three, learn of Him. Grow in relationship with Him through the tough times because you can grow through the tough times. Amen? Last scripture, Isaiah 28, 11 to 12. It says, for with stammering lips and another tongue, He will speak to His people, to whom He said, this is the rest wherewith you may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing, yet they would not hear. This is a prophecy about tongue. And I just wanted to add this in right here at the end to say that we are supernatural beings, amen? We are supernatural beings, and so deal with things supernaturally, not just superficially. Deal with things supernaturally. If something's stressing you out, pray in tongues. You don't pray in tongues, come up afterwards, we'll pray for you. We'll minister to you. But this is saying that when we pray in the Spirit, it refreshes us. When you need refreshing, when you're weary, when you're tired, come to Jesus. Be yoked with Him. Trust in Him. What's that third one? Learn from Him. But in the whole process, pray in the Spirit. And allow Him to supernaturally supernaturally means it doesn't make sense. So let Him refresh you and energize you and strengthen you from the inside so that you can face whatever you're facing. So that you can get through it. So that He can give you the wisdom that you need to get out of it. Amen? Amen. You get something practical that you can use this holiday? Father, we want to thank You that In you we live and move and have our being. Not in the flesh. That we can rise up and overcome anything. Thank you that we're too blessed to be stressed. Thank you, Father, that you never leave us. You never forsake us. Thank you that all things are possible with you, and because we're with you, all things are possible. Thank you, Father, we don't have to focus on the challenges. We don't have to focus on the problems. We can focus on you and receiving from you, Father. Thank you that we can come to you with boldness and confidence. Jesus, whenever challenges come, whenever circumstances are against us, we can come to you to find rest for our souls, to find peace. Thank you for that, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you that in you we can find perfect peace and rest. Thank you that during this holiday season, it's going to be a time when we continuously come to you, where we can just continuously come to you, rest and be refreshed in you, that we don't have to try and do it on our own strength, but we can just allow you to strengthen us from the inside out. It's not what happens to us that determines our joy, but it's who we are in you. It's how we respond to situations and circumstances because of us being in Christ. Thank you, Father.